Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy to be with you. Just get us in the right mode here, an instant teleseminar. There we go. I'm really looking forward to our call today. And we have two new members that stepped into our circle over the weekend, and so I want to welcome our new women as well. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're all here. And we're going to be starting a new module today, creating awareness module, and that will we'll have three sessions on creating awareness, two training calls, and then a practicum. Like I've been doing the last few weeks, I went ahead, let me get there, I started a thread in our Facebook group for our call today, because I know some of you like to just kind of post and comment in real time, so please feel free as I'm asking questions. As always, I love participation, so raise your hands, you know, we want to hear your voices, and also please feel free to share on our Facebook thread as well. Okay, so with that, let's dive into creating awareness part one. And let's start here really with, what does creating awareness even mean in a practitioner context, and why is it so important? Well, creating awareness is literally the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves and their situation that they weren't previously able to acknowledge and accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation that will help them become more confident or more clear or more able or more open. So again, creating awareness is the act of supporting your client to see something that they weren't able to see previously, or supporting your client to be able to acknowledge and accept something that they weren't previously able to acknowledge or accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something that they are ready to embrace. So maybe they have seen it and accepted and acknowledged it, but they are ready to integrate it more deeply into their consciousness. Creating awareness is also a strategy that allows your client to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply, because it allows the both of you, both the practitioner and the client, to see your client more clearly and to hold your client in that clearer vision. Creating awareness can support clients to see their blind spots, their patterns, their achievements, their gaps, their obstacles, their inner answers, their talents, and their truest desires. Because the truth is that for any of those things, oftentimes our clients just simply don't see them or know them or haven't deeply acknowledged or accepted those things. Creating awareness can sometimes help create a breakthrough in an instant. It can sometimes create a breakthrough in an instant when we create awareness. So take a moment and think on this. if this has ever happened for you, if someone, a coach, a practitioner, a friend, a colleague, a family member, whoever, has reflected something back to you, and in an instant, just through that reflection, you could see so much. Has that ever happened to you? And I'll give you one example from my own life, you know, to help you with this question. So very many years ago, when I first became a business owner and first started marketing, one of my colleagues said, oh, you know, there's this woman, and I think the two of you would be great joint venture partners. You know, I want to connect the two of you. I think you'll really enjoy each other. And she connected me with this woman, Amanda, and, you know, we emailed back and forth, and we made a time to speak on the phone, and we got on the phone, and we had a great conversation. It turned out she was an ideal joint venture partner for me. We just got along. There was so much synergy in so many ways, and we got to the end of the conversation. We were probably on the phone for close to an hour. We were kind of wrapping up, and she said to me, she said, you know, I know that we really are just getting to know each other. We've really just met, but I have to share with you, I went and I looked at your website before our call, and the photographs that you have of yourself are such a mismatch with who you are. Now that I've spoken to you, I can see that your photographs are, you know, you're wearing practically all black. You're not really looking at the camera and kind of seems like you don't want to be seen. And, you know, she said that to me. And, of course, my first reaction was to, like, you know, want to run for the hills. You know, I was just so embarrassed. And, you know, I think it probably put me in just slightly into fight or flight. She was very direct with me. But I was able to really take it in. And in that moment, she created a lot of awareness for me. She created, just in those statements, she created awareness for me around how I'd really been hiding in my marketing instead of being visible. She created awareness for me in those short statements around why some of my marketing strategies were not working. And even just that statement of, you know, it seems like you are hiding, it activated a lot of awareness, and I did a lot of work, my own work from that, but it sparked a lot of new awareness around why I was hiding, and, you know, family patterns and all of that, right? So she wasn't coaching me, it was just a conversation, but she created big awareness for me. So take a moment and think if something like this has ever happened for you. Somebody, a coach, a friend, a practitioner, a family member, colleague, whoever, has reflected something back to you, created an awareness, and in an instant, it was maybe a breakthrough, or maybe you just saw so much from that. The ability to support a client in creating awareness stems directly from being a masterful listener. It's very hard to create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard in one layer or another from your client. Also, you can't support clients in creating awareness if you're operating with unchecked filters, right? Which is one of the reasons why we look at listening and filters before we look at creating awareness, questioning all the rest of the things, right? So I don't need to go too deep into that. You just need to remember back a few weeks our discussion on filters, right? But, you know, we can't create awareness on something if we've got an unchecked filter on it. So, for example, if you, you know, I'll use an example from my own practice. You know, when I do business coaching, and I have a client who wants to raise their rates, but they're very much in their money story, the only way that I can recognize their money story is because I've checked my filters on my own money story. One of my philosophies, or I should say approach with clients, that relates to creating awareness is that I want to create an environment in the coaching container where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we move on to the strategizing part of the session. I'm going to say that again. And this is, you know, nothing is the case 100% of the time, but this is my general approach. Before I strategize with a client on anything, I want to create an environment where they can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible. And that's because when you don't create those awarenesses around a particular situation, you know, whatever is going on that you're going to then strategize on, there's too much that can be in your client's blind spots. And when there's a lot in your client's blind spots, or when there are pieces that haven't been acknowledged or accepted or deeply taken in, then when you get to the strategizing, the action steps, the plan, there's going to either be resistance to the strategy or false intuition about the strategy or simply unsound strategy. Now, that doesn't mean that you drive yourself crazy to become aware of every single possible thing. Obviously, that's impossible. But it's just to say that even when a client presents to me, and again, I'll use the business coaching context, but you can put this into any context. You know, let's say a client is launching a program and they want to come out of the session with a launch plan. Very, very rarely am I going to actually start with the nuts and bolts of the launch plan in the session. We'll start first by, you know, understanding the lay of the land and creating awarenesses so that both my client and myself can have as much information as possible to help co-create the most effective and aligned strategy. And of course, even with that, as we move through the strategy, sometimes resistances will come up or, you know, questions, all of that, and more awareness gets created even through the strategy creation. Now, there are a number of ways that as a practitioner you can create awareness. And let me just quickly share with you the ways and then we'll start to unpack them. So number one, by asking questions that illuminate the truth. And we'll do a full module on breakthrough questioning right after our Creating Awareness module. So we'll get there, but questions are a big way to create awareness. Another strategy for creating awareness is what I call reflecting the truth. And we're going to be mostly focusing on reflecting the truth today. Another strategy for creating awareness is consulting. And I really see that as a subset of reflecting on the truth. We'll get to that today. Another strategy for creating awareness is acknowledging. And there are a bunch of different aspects to acknowledging. We'll get there next week. Personal anecdote and storytelling are another way of creating awareness. We'll look at that today. And then myth, metaphor, and archetype are also a way of creating awareness. We won't get there in sacred depths. We usually look at that in advance, but I just want to name that that is another way of creating awareness. So most of the time, you want to create awareness by asking really good questions. And in many cases, this is the preferable way, because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own without you having to spell it out for them, it can often, not always, but often make a deeper impression and impact and be taken in more deeply than if the client was just simply told. Oftentimes, the client can own the awareness more if they say it first themselves, if they answer a question about it. And for anyone that has observed children, you know that this is often true. There's such a difference between me outright telling my kids to put a coat on when it's cold outside versus them figuring it out on their own because they freeze their butts off one day. They take the awareness in much more deeply when they figure it out themselves, right? And questions can really do that. So you often want to go with questions first, but sometimes the piece of awareness that wants to be created is just so deep in your client's blind spot that questioning alone won't do the trick. Or sometimes the awareness is something that you know, but your client doesn't yet know simply because you have experience with it. It's your expertise, right? And that's where consulting comes in. And yet other times, you'll simply feel intuitively that creating awareness directly and clearly from you is, or I should say reflecting the truth, we'll get there in a moment, directly is what will make the most impact. And as you'll see, sometimes a straight up reflecting the truth can be almost like a dramatic, heightened moment where a client can really take something in very deeply. So again, we don't want to use straight up reflecting as the default all the time. We really, I think a lot of practitioners underuse questioning and rely more on telling, and there's so much power to questioning. But every now and again, in my opinion, straight up reflecting is what is necessary. We're going to get into a moment to how to reflect and what that means, all of that. Now, I do want to mention that there are some practitioners that will say to never, it's not a coach's job, it's not a transformational practitioner's job to ever straight up reflect the truth. Your client needs to get there by answering questions. The moment that you as a practitioner insert your own opinion, then game off. But what I have really found over the years is if you are deeply listening, using all of the listening skills we've looked at, if you're checking your filters, then sometimes as a practitioner, it can be very powerful to reflect a truth, to share your opinion, and then allow the client to choose from there if they want to pick that up or not. And we'll look in a little bit at all the ways to do that. So let's dive then into the skill of reflecting the truth, which again is one way of creating awareness. So again, reflecting the truth is literally when you straight up share with your client what you're seeing or sensing. It may be based on your client, on who they are, or it may be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular expertise. So let me give you some examples of this so it'll be better illustrated. For example, let's say you're in session with a client and she's speaking about her partner and she never says these words, but you can see based on what she's sharing that she's never forgiven her partner for something that happened 5 years ago. Well, that might be something that as a practitioner you want to reflect the truth on, right? You want to create awareness on that, really directly help the client see that she's never forgiven her partner. Here's another example. Let's say you're working with a client who says that she wants to lose 10 pounds, but from the conversation, what you're actually hearing is that it doesn't really sound like she actually wants to lose 10 pounds. It actually sounds more like her mother would like for her to lose 10 pounds. That might be a truth or a hard truth that the client is ready to hear, right? It might be a moment for reflecting that truth. Or maybe you're in session with a client and you hear that this client, based on what they're sharing with you, different things that they're doing with friends and at work, what you're really hearing is that this client is overgiving and that it's causing him harm. But it's something that he really isn't seeing for himself. That might be something that you want to reflect the truth on. Or I'll give you just a couple more examples. Let's say you're in session with a client, and as you're listening, you know, again, these are not things that the client is outright aware of or outright says or have acknowledged, but you pick this up from listening. Say it sounds like every time your client accomplishes something, directly afterwards she does something to self-sabotage, right? Maybe she's not aware of this. That might be something you want to reflect the truth on. Or, as we said earlier, maybe she is aware of this, but she's ready for the next level of embracing that this is her pattern, right? That might be something you reflect the truth on. Here's another example. Say you are in conversation with a client and they have a presentation in a few days, and they're sharing with you everything that they've prepared for the presentation, but because of your expertise as the practitioner, you've done many presentations, you've helped a lot of people with presentations, you know that this client hasn't done enough to prepare for a successful presentation, right? That might be something you want to reflect the truth on. Or this happens, I'll give one more example, and this is, again, from like an expertise standpoint, like the presentation example. If you've got a client who wants to, let's say you're working with them on business and they want to raise their rates, but they haven't really done the work on improving their sales skills. Well, you might know from your expertise that it's difficult to raise rates if your sales skills aren't in tip-top shape, right? That's something you're going to want to reflect the truth on. So hopefully, as you can see from these examples, sometimes the truth that's asking to be reflected is an easy one to hear, but sometimes the truth that's asking to be reflected isn't an easy one for your clients to hear. And a lot of the time, when you go to reflect the truth, it's not going to be one that's easy to hear. If it were, then the client would already be aware of it, have acknowledged it, accepted it, and deeply integrated it. So there are a couple of different ways that human beings respond when they're being presented with a hard truth. And I'm sharing this, and you'll see throughout this program, I will share a lot about human behavior and human responses, because the more that you understand the spectrum of human response as a practitioner, the more that you'll then be able to apply, you know, the nuts and bolts skills that we learn to any situation. So there are a couple of different ways that any human being will respond when they're being presented with a hard truth. One way they might respond is they get it, they hear it, they understand it immediately, and they have a breakthrough, and they integrate. It's so easy, right? It's nice when that happens. But that's not the only way that human beings respond to being presented with hard truth. Another way people respond is they get angry or defensive or go into denial about it. And I can, you know, aside from speaking from my experience as a practitioner, I can even just speak from my experience with myself. It has taken a lot of work for me personally over the years to not get defensive when I'm being presented with a hard truth, particularly, right, if it has to do with me. So some people get angry, defensive, or go into denial about it. Some people, when they hear a hard truth, when they're presented with it, go into self-judgment or victimhood or hopelessness. And some people check out or get confused. I share all of this with you not to scare you and not to have you not reflect hard truths, but I share this with you so that you see why you want to be really skilled and clear on how to reflect the truth, so that you have the best chances of having your client hear it, get it, understand it, have a breakthrough awareness, and integrate it. And in a little bit on the call, we'll get into the mechanics of how to do all of that in a masterful way. But before we get there, I want to take a look at the difficulties that a coach might have in choosing to reflect the truth. The difficulties that you as a practitioner might have when you're considering reflecting a hard truth to a client. Because the mechanics, the nuts and bolts, the how-tos, you know, of how to reflect a hard truth are actually pretty simple. It's the inner issues for us as practitioners that can make things wonky and detract from our masterful delivery of the truth. So what does that mean? Why can it be difficult? What's the inner stuff involved in being able to deliver a hard truth? Well, most of the time, it's because the practitioner can go into fear that if they reflect a hard truth, it will hurt their client or harm their client, or that their client will get angry or upset with them, or something, right, along those lines. So I'll give you an example, because I'm really good at reflecting hard truths. I actually enjoy them a lot, but sometimes it even gives me pause for a moment, and I have to check myself. And so one example of that I always remember is that I have a client who has been with me for a long time, and she's amazing. You know, we've worked together very closely over the years, and through our work together, she's learned how to be just so masterful at creating curriculum and facilitating groups. She's really incredible. But this particular client, even though she's become so masterful and has a ton of confidence just because of everything that she's accomplished, because of her patterning, every now and again, she will get a little bit like needy when she's preparing for a retreat. And when she's putting together curriculum, you know, she'll email me, like keep on emailing me all these different questions, and clearly not trusting herself and her expertise and all that she's learned over the years in regards to curriculum. And this happened about a year ago. It hadn't happened for a while, and it happened a year ago where she kind of fell back into this pattern. It was a particularly big group that she was preparing for, and I started getting these onslaughts of emails, and I could have easily just answered them, right? Just helped her, just answered them. But I knew that if I just answered them, I wouldn't really be doing her a service, because so much of this had to do with her confidence. At the same time, because I know this client so well and I know her patterning so well and I know her history so well, I know that a lot throughout her life, she has felt like her mother hadn't met her needs, right? That she'd asked things of her mother, her needs weren't met. We've done a lot of work on that together. And so as I considered, you know, reflecting this truth of, you know, you've fallen back on old patterns, rely on your confidence, you know this, you know, all the things, I also didn't want her to get activated, right, that I wasn't being there for her, because that needy archetype inside of her, you know, can kind of get really hold on to some stories there, right? So it gave me pause. I got a little scared because I didn't want to hurt her. I didn't want to offend her by telling her she didn't need to send me all those emails, that she could figure it out on her own. Luckily, of course, you know, because I know everything that I know and, you know, all the things, I recognize that fear inside of myself. I got clear for myself on it, and I reflected the truth to her. And, of course, as you can already guess, it was exactly what she needed, right? Because, again, I could have answered all of those curriculum questions, but she wouldn't have gone in to her retreat with as much confidence as she did because I reflected the truth to her. So as a practitioner, reflecting the truth requires courage, right? It requires bravery. It requires being able to check your filters, right? In that situation, I had to check my filters, like, is this just that I'm annoyed that she's sending so many emails? Or, you know, what's going on here, right? I did have to check my filters first. It requires objectivity. It requires resolve. It requires love and compassion, right? Because even when we're reflecting a hard truth, we want to do it with so much love and so much compassion. Reflecting hard truths also requires for you as the practitioner to be comfortable holding space for someone who may potentially become uncomfortable. It requires you as the practitioner to be comfortable holding space for someone who may potentially become uncomfortable. Because not always, and actually most of the time not, but sometimes the confrontation with a truth, even if it's delivered with love and compassion, can make a client temporarily feel uncomfortable inside of themselves. Can make a client temporarily feel judgmental of themselves, can make a client maybe temporarily feel regret, can make them temporarily feel sad, potentially. You, as the coach, must be willing to sit in the shadows with your client to hold space for the discomfort, to not feel like you want to run away from the discomfort, to lovingly be with it and with your client with full presence. Now, all of these things may sound easy enough, but again, our inner stuff, our fear of hurting others, harming others, having others get angry or upset with us can oftentimes get in the way of reflecting the truth. So let's look a little bit more deeply at this. I'll ask you some journaling questions. Number one, what fears come up for you when you consider sharing truths as you see them? You can think about this with clients, with friends, with family members. What are the fears that come up for you when you consider sharing truths as you see them? And again, I'm going to ask some questions, and I'll ask to hear your voices, raise your hands and shares and all of that, but also feel free to post in that thread that I started in the Facebook group. Next question, what fears come up for you when you consider sharing controversial opinions with others? So let me explain what I mean by this and how this relates to creating awareness in coaching. Question again is, what are the fears that come up for you when you consider sharing controversial opinions with others? So the reason why I'm asking this question is because there are going to be moments where from your expertise, you reflect a hard truth that's controversial. As an example, when I'm working with clients, you know, on their businesses, the coaching industry has, in my opinion, unfortunately, indoctrinated a lot of people into these crazy marketing, you know, strategy hypes, you know, like, or just find high-end clients no matter what, or the first thing you need to do is, you know, Facebook ads or whatever the thing is, right? And sometimes I'll be working with a client and they'll have been indoctrinated and they'll come to me and they're going to, you know, the first thing they want to do is, like, right, again, for example, look for high-end clients. Well, sometimes the creating awareness that I do, or piece of the creating awareness I do, is share my opinion, which happens to be controversial, which is that may not be the first thing that's right for you. Maybe grassroots marketing or, you know, whatever it is, right? But it can be, for some of us, it can be a little scary. It can bring up fear to share something that's a little bit against the grain or controversial, even if we, in our expertise, right, we know it to be true. I know I've worked, just as another example, like with clients that are health coaches, and there's a lot of controversial, you know, creating awareness that they do that is controversial around diets, right? Dispelling diets, that kind of thing. So what fears come up for you when you consider sharing controversial opinions with others, with clients? You might be fine with it, right, and have no issue there, but check in for yourself. Next question. How often was the truth named in your family growing up? How often was the truth named, spoken about, in your family growing up? And how was the truth shared in your family growing up? Was it supportive or not supportive? How was the truth shared in your family growing up? Supportive or not? Do you have experiences of being told a hard truth, being reflected a hard truth, but having it was delivered with love and compassion? Do you have experiences of being told a hard truth, but having it delivered with love and compassion? And if yes, as you reflect on that, what was important about that for you? Next question, how do you take in, receive, and respond to feedback or hard truths that others share with you? How do you take in, receive, or respond to feedback or hard truths that others share with you? Do you respond or do you react? Be honest with yourself. couple more questions, and then I'll open up for shares. How do you, historically, how have your family members taken in, received, and responded to feedback or hard truths? Historically, how have your family members taken in, received, responded to hard truths? Two more questions. What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who is very uncomfortable? What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who is very uncomfortable? And last question for now. What would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient? What would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient? All right, I've been talking a lot so far, so I'm going to pause, and I want to hear from you. Start to raise your hand, or if you're calling from the web, we have those instructions in the Facebook group. I'd love to hear, what are you seeing so far? What are you taking so far? What's coming up for you? Star two. Is this 2361?
That's Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
So for me, I definitely, it's kind of even relates to last week, a lot of like fear of judgment. I think that comes up for me when I relate the hard truth. And like when you talked about the family members, my dad and my mom are very actually really strong-willed people. And I think they've always encouraged me to like speak the truth, but then like looking back, I feel like they always told me I was wrong when I had like a reflection about like them or about the instance, and it almost turned into like a debate, not necessarily like a harmful debate, just that I always felt like I didn't have enough information. And I think that does reflect thinking about it with my clients, that I'm afraid that I'm going to make an assumption about them that I don't have all the information for yet.
Yeah.
And that they'll be like a, you know, I'll offend them.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So first of all, you might make an assumption about them, and that's why it's a skill, like a skill to reflect the truth. And we'll get into how to handle that, like how you want to deliver it, to create the space for the truth that you're reflecting to maybe not be right. But that being said, I'm so glad that you can see this, because I can hear just from what you're saying, there are probably a lot of times where you feel the impulse, there's something that you really want a client to hear, but you're holding back because of what you're sharing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. So, yeah, these are great questions. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I hear from a couple other of you. Sonnet.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Great. So it's very interesting because everything you said kind of correlates with what I'm going through with a client at the moment. And I sent you a message, and your assistant told me that I should bring it up in the call today. So I've got a client that, you know, because I'm clairvoyant, because I can read energy, I've been picking up on what I think has happened. And I think that she has been triggered and she's in some resistance. And she's kind of thrown the towel in, but I have reached out to her a few times to clarify and communicate because I want to make sure I'm not coming from any of my filters or any of my programs or any of my assumptions, you know, and get really clear. But she's in a place where she is not able to even communicate what is going on for her. And, you know, my usual self would jump in there and try and save the situation. But because I'm doing this coaching with you, I'm listening to everything that you've said, and I'm kind of just, I've let her know. I've said, I'm here and ready to support you when you're ready. And then I've just let it go. But what I wanted to know from you is when you can see clearly that someone is in some resistance and you know you can help them, do you have to just wait for them to come to you? Because what you've just said kind of says to me that not necessarily.
Right.
So
it's such a great question. I'll answer some of it today. Some of it we'll get to when we get to resistance archetypes, but it would take a full session just for me to lay all that out.
Yeah.
But I'll share some, you know, answer your question a bit. So I did quickly read that email that you sent, and it sounds like this person is in a group program.
Yeah.
And you're sensing that they actually got triggered by somebody else in the group. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you handle groups a little bit different than you're going to handle one-on-ones. And also you're going to handle something different when it comes up in a session versus somebody emailing you and saying, I want out. And it sounds like she, if I remember correctly, she emailed you, right? You're not in as tight a container in between sessions as you are in a session, just simply, obviously, right? Because the container is tighter when you're actually in session with someone. So it's always a little harder to lean into resistance over email than when you're voice-to-voice. With someone, right? Yeah. But all that being said, it's great that you responded right away. And I think that there is more awareness that can be created. Again, it's harder over email than it is voice to voice. But if you feel comfortable, and you'll see, because we're going to get into mechanics of how to create awarenesses for hard truths. But I would email out, you know, if she's just not responding and you can't get her on the phone simply by asking her if she'd like to get on the phone, I would reflect some truths around, you know, what you sense is going on for her. You know, I would do that over email. Do it in a way, and you'll see when I get to the step-by-step that she has agency to agree or not. But by naming it, if you do it in a loving and compassionate way and in a normalizing way, you may have a chance of bringing her back into the fold. Is that helpful for now?
Yeah, and the other kind of pattern I know I have is being overly generous and not kind of honoring myself.
Yeah.
So, and I put that in the email, but what I've been processing it all kind of on and off today, and I just wanted to ask you, what I'm thinking of doing is just saying, look, I would like to keep you in the program. You can watch the playback, so you don't have to be in the group setting. And I'll also offer you a one-on-one. And so it is very generous, but it also, I think it would really help her and not offer a refund, because I think offering a refund does me a disservice and also actually her a disservice, because she's
right.
already completed half of the training.
Right.
So
in general, yes, but I wouldn't even get to logistics until
okay.
you can have a heart-to-heart conversation with her about
oh.
what's happened for her, because it might be that she can step back into the program.
Yeah.
If you know, possibly if you handle it a certain way, but as soon as you
yeah.
get to the like, okay, I can give you, you know, all the logistics,
yeah.
then you're missing the opportunity for the heart-to-heart.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good to be.
Oh, sorry. Shauna, did you have something else you were going to say? Is that
thank
it?
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I hear a couple more of these. These are great. Deb.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah.
Perfect. So I really was appreciating what you were sharing in the beginning about listening, because that resonates with the work and training I've had as a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
With mediation, it's all about listening to demonstrate understanding
mm-hmm.
and to not insert my opinion.
Yeah.
And so that really resonated. And what came through as a deeper piece with that, with the questions that you asked, as always, your questions are fabulous, was about the family pieces, because with the family, there's always been this truth always and then a footnote.
Right.
So truth always, as long as it's not a reflection back on, you know, the parents or the grandparent or something. And as a parent now myself, I can understand that sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And the way that it went as just reflection in growing up in the household, since I was also a caregiver growing up, was that there was truth. If you expressed a truth that wasn't welcomed, you were shut down. Later on, either one parent acted the victim or the other one was resentful. Later on, though, the truth would be reflected and kind of absorbed, ruminated on.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up conversation would be like, I agree, thank you, now go fix it for me.
Mm.
So,
yeah, you don't want to take any of that into your
yes.
client's conversation.
Exactly.
I'm so glad that you're seeing this, right? Because
yes.
as practitioners, we can unconsciously bring this stuff in, and then we either hold back from reflecting the truth, or we reflect the truth, but then go into fix-it mode, right? Like you're saying,
yes.
that's the last piece, because that's the pattern, right? So you want to, I'm so glad you're seeing all
yeah.
of this.
And what comes
care.
Through, exactly, what comes through with that is just the real synergistic connection between my mediation training and this beautiful training that I'm doing with you now, is that in mediation, you very clearly state at the beginning, you know, this is not my fight. I'm not here. I don't have an opinion in how this goes. This is for you, and I'm here to guide.
Mm-hmm.
And so that resonates so deeply with my soul for this work, because it's the questions, like, in mediation, they say, you know, the emotional icebergs, you hear a word, but there's so much beneath the water.
Yeah.
So that guiding yeah. aspect and the reminders for myself mm-hmm. about what my purpose is, it's not to fix, it's to guide and to
yeah.
do the work that I need to do to be ready to step into that. Because clearly, you know, we all have our biases, and I have my work that I'm doing to be ready to hold space. So I really appreciate it today. So thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome, 100%. And, you know, what you're saying really goes back to our very first call and energetics. It's not about us. The
uh-huh.
second it's about us, then we lose our facility for all of these pieces.
Well, and in a lot of chaos right now, people are asking in their own language for it to be about us. Please just fix it. Just fix
yeah.
it. I can't take anymore. Just fix it. Yeah. And there's that, you know, Good Samaritan stuff that kicks in where you're like, okay, well, here's how. And it's like, no, stay in your lane. Because then you can't be of service to anybody because you're burnt out and or you want something for someone that they don't want themselves.
Yeah.
So
next
such good truth.
Yeah. And next week we'll actually look at what to do when people ask us to just fix it.
Because they're asking right now. It's a crazy year, so they're asking. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great. I'll take a few more of these shares. They're so good. Who is this? 2528.
Hi, Joanna. It's Gloria.
Hey, Gloria.
Hey. I don't really know what particularly to share, but I felt very emotional with all of the questions, so I figured that was probably a reason enough to lean in and, reflect. I think where I got really choked up was in the question that asked if you've ever been told a hard truth that was delivered with love and compassion, and it definitely did not exist in my family, but I found a lot of solace and looking back, lots of gratitude for like the mentors and the leaders and supervisors and managers that I've had in my life. I came from the world of like student development and higher education and supporting students outside of the classroom. So luckily my mentors in that space were also, you know, they just always had a very empathetic lens and encouraging lens as I developed in my career. And the difference is that with them, they had shared feedback really only in a way to pull me up and, like, said very clearly that they saw my potential.
Yeah.
And that's so distinct. Like, that is really the difference I'm finding between what makes feedback actually generative for a person and inspiring almost for a person versus opinionated or out of someone else's own, like, ego and judgment on another.
Yes, 100%. And, of course, you know, if you're here in sacred depth, chances are that that's where you're going to be coming from. But even that being said, because of patterning, deep patterning inside of us, we do want to be aware, right, and check ourselves before we give feedback or reflect truth, that it is coming from the highest place, even if it is a hard truth, because that matters.
Yeah, and I find that when I was reflecting on the question, like, what stops me or makes it challenging to reflect the truth with clients, it is definitely this fear of, like, getting it wrong or being challenged, or even just in general, like, sharing my opinion puts me, like, up for debate, or puts my thoughts or opinions up for debate, and that has always been scary for me.
I hear you. So the two pieces of good news about that is, number one, just by coming face-to-face, like, this is why we're looking at these questions, right? So just by doing this inner exploration, it's going to start to loosen that up. But number two, I'm going to take one or two more shares, and then I'm going to give a couple different techniques for reflecting hard truths. And the very first one gives you a safety hatch exit. Like it addresses exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, thankfully.
So, yeah. So
awesome.
We're going to get there in a few minutes.
Cool.
Great. Alana.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy to be back live.
Happy you're back.
So you asked, I mean, first of all, I always need more time with the journaling. Like, I'm just writing down the question. I'm like, wait, I need more time. But so I feel like I want to come back to these. But on a first glance, the first two questions just about what are the fears that come up for you when you consider sharing truth as you see them. And I was thinking about, I'm a teacher also, as well as like a creativity coach. And in some of my situations with my students, and of course these are maybe younger people, but, you know, even like college age students, I have this real fear, especially around the field of creativity and in this case poetry. A lot of people come with a lot of baggage of people critiquing them early on, and it really like cutting them off in some way, or cutting them off from their own trust in themselves, or like the hierarchy of like my knowledge trumps your creativity or something. And not that I ever come from that place, but I really am sensitive to the baggage that comes from that. And I even, 100%. Like when I have my students at Juilliard, when I give them feedback on a poem, let's say, for example, I give them such a broad swath. I'm like, when you turn in your poem, first tell me if you even want feedback or if you just want to, you know, then tell me if this poem is too, I really give them a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I know this is very specific to that, but it broadens into my feeling as a coach, because I'm like, I'm holding very sacred somebody's beating heart creative impulse.
Yeah.
And I am very afraid of doing damage to that impulse, or thinking that my perspective, which is biased, you know, no matter how aware I am, I have an aesthetic bias, right?
Yeah.
Let's say when they're, and so I will prioritize making them feel seen, loved, and heard over maybe sometimes sharing a truth. So I don't know. That's a really, really fine line for me. That's like one piece that I wanted to say. And you can speak to that, and then I have a second piece.
Okay. So first of all, in the coaching context, well, again, same thing that I said to Lori, like I'm going to give some ways around that. And in the context that you're speaking of specifically, I want to, I don't know if challenge is the right word, but kind of toss to you, open up to you that instead of it being either they feel seen, heard, and loved, or you give them the piece of feedback, that both can exist together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an either or. And that, even take it a step further, that the piece of feedback can actually help them to feel seen, heard, and loved.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, an example is coming to mind of a student who was a great writer, but she would never turn anything in, and we would like, and you know, she actually didn't pass my class in the end. But we had a conversation once where I was like, you not turning in this work is not about you being too lazy or like too, it's about, there's a thing about you putting your voice out. Like I did share a very hard truth, and it actually led to quite a deep opening.
That's right.
An example that feels resonant with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks. Yeah. The other piece I wanted to just add, the second question, you said, what fears come up when you consider sharing controversial opinions with others? And I'm just going to name it, Joanna, because the culture we're in, the cancel culture, is quite a real thing.
Mm.
And, you know, like on social media, for example, and, you know, I'm talking maybe about like issues of race or whatever, but like you say the wrong thing and people will literally like come for you. And so that ethos, I think, is the, you know, and maybe that's not the right context to mention, but I do think it is a little bit in the water right now.
100%. 100%. And you have so much to say on that, right? Because that's like coaching context, but then like out in the world or marketing context or however you want to say it. And again, how you share, again, right, whether it's in the coaching context or whatever it is, how you share the truth is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Checking your filters, you know, making sure that your privilege is checked, you know, all the things. Is so important. And then it's like, you know, are you willing to have the courage to do it? And I'll just share briefly, and more on this actually in between this week and next, because I'm going to share a little video on how to apply this to marketing. But I'll just share briefly now, like I hold my breath all the time in some things that I share that just go against what the coaching industry has always said to be true. But I believe so deeply, and I've checked my filters around it, you know, all the things, but I believe so deeply in it that I'm willing to. So more on that to come, but it's good to keep on thinking about for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Penny, I'm going to take you quick, and then I still have so much to share, but I want to hear from you.
Oh, great. Hi. Yeah, I just wrote down this little thing. It was like, when I feel attacked, I react. And when I feel loved and cared for, I listen and respond. And then I thought even more about that, that it's almost like with the attack, sometimes I can obviate the reaction if I see it coming. It's more like when I'm blindsided.
Yeah.
But that was interesting.
Yep. So and we're going to – one of the techniques I share is going to address that, too. I hear you.
Good.
Yeah. And I love that. And, could you share that in our Facebook group, that saying?
Yeah, sure.
It's so good.
Sure.
Thank you.
And, in Scientology, they talk about something called confront as the capacity to sit with your discomfort in a situation. Of rejection, of saying something's wrong, of fear, whatever. And I try and find little places where it doesn't, the stakes aren't so high, where I can practice that where I might have otherwise avoided it so that I can get better at that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. yes, I've been through my own journey with that over the years. It's such a great skill to have.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, that's okay, it. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So let's actually get to nuts and bolts of how to reflect hard truths. So I'm going to give you a couple of different ways to do it. But before I even get to the four ways, just background pieces for any of the four ways to be thinking about. So number one, here's one question that you want to keep top of mind for yourself just as you are in session with clients. That will help you hear, it will help your listening, particularly for hard truths. Here's the question. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their results? I'm going to repeat that again. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their result? Now, you can keep this question in mind throughout a session with a client. I'm actually going to ask you to do that as part of your partnering this week. But this is also another great question. We've been talking about the last few weeks, like questions to ask yourself after a session. This is a great question to ask after a session. And then you can bring it up next time. Next thing to keep in mind before reflecting a hard truth, as I said earlier, almost always ask enough questions first to see if the client can come to the awareness on their own. Check in with your inner wisdom on whether or not the client is ready to hear this particular truth. Now, this isn't a perfect science, right? But, and don't let your fear get in the way because you don't want your fear to just answer, no, they're not ready, right? But check in with your inner wisdom. Does this client have a history of being defensive? Now, that doesn't mean that they're not ready to hear it. It just means that you're going to handle it a certain way, right? Or what mood is this client in today? Or, what's happened for them over the last month, right? Whatever it is, check in with your inner wisdom on whether they're ready to hear it or ready to hear it that day. Next piece, and this is important. A lot of you brought this up. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be wrong. Leave open the option to be wrong. And we're going to talk about how to do that, but I want to be clear on this, right? And so there may be some inner work here around, do I believe that I need to be right all the time? Can I still feel valid, and can I still feel as if I'm enough if I'm not getting it right as a practitioner all the time, right? Because if there's any of that going on, it's going to be very difficult to be willing to be wrong. Reconnect before you deliver a hard truth, reflect a hard truth, reconnect to your love for your client and to the trust, as we looked about in our first class, that they are whole and complete exactly as they are. If you reflect a hard truth and at the same time are connected to your love for the client as well as to the truth that they are whole and complete exactly as they are, then the love and compassion will come through the delivery, and there will be less opportunity for anger or defensiveness or victimhood or all, you know, any of the things we spoke about. Make sure that you've got an equal playing field before you deliver. Reflect a hard truth. If it's skewed to where you think your client is better than you, then you won't have the confidence and courage to share what you're seeing. If it's skewed to where you think that you're better than your client, you run the risk of guruing them and disempowering them. And I know that if you are in sacred depth, you don't want to guru your client. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you I've been gurued before, and it is disempowering, anger-making, you know, all of the above. We don't have time today for me to share the story, but maybe another time I'll share the story with you. It's a good illustration. But I want to get now to the different ways to reflect hard truth. So everything I just shared, that's like the foundation, right, before you go to use one of these ways. And so here are some different ways. I'm going to lay them out, and, you know, let's see how they land for you. So we'll just call this way number one, right, to reflect the hard truth. Three steps to it. Step number one, ask permission. So asking permission can, for some situations when reflecting a hard truth, be really important, right? Because your client may not be open to a truth in that moment. Sometimes you don't want to ask for permission for, like, dramatic, you know, like, lasering in purposes. We'll get to that in a moment. But much of the time, you may want to ask for permission. And that can sound something like this. There's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you may or may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? Right? Ask for permission. Get the green light. There's something I'm noticing. Would you be open to me sharing? Step number two, if you've gotten permission, most of the time you will. Will sound like this. I may not be getting this correct, and I totally trust your inner wisdom, so let me know if I'm not getting this right. I've noticed X, right? X can be you tend to self-sabotage every time you have a success, or I've noticed you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, it's like you lose all of your confidence. And then next step after that, am I getting that right? Or how does that land for you? Or how does that feel for you? And then, of course, you'll probably follow up with some, you know, deeper questions based on what comes up for the client, right? But number one, again, ask permission. even though it's very likely that the client will almost always say yes, it's sometimes good to get that green light. Now, again, other times it might be, every now and again, it might be off-putting or you want to just go straight in, right? But for the most part, you want to get permission. Number two, I might not be getting this correct, and I trust your inner wisdom, right? That's the, that is so key, because when you do that, you're not exerting power over. You're still, your client still has all of the agency, right? And then am I getting that right? So that's one way to reflect a hard truth. Another way to reflect a hard truth is by using a personal anecdote. Personal anecdotes are incredible ways to create awareness. So a personal anecdote is just a very short story from your life, or, you know, another client or a friend, whatever it is, that that story actually reflects the truth that your client is ready to hear. Sometimes it can be very powerful to reflect a hard truth through a personal anecdote because, number one, it's normalizing, right? Like, it happened to you, you know, or you've experienced that, right, as the practitioner, right? So it's a very normalizing then. The client may not feel stunned or, you know, whatever it is. Also, it's like they're first hearing it outside of themselves, right? It's kind of like can be a gentler approach, and then they can take it in. Now, you only want to use a personal anecdote if it is really applicable, right? You're not going to just talk about yourself to talk about yourself. And it's that it's going to create a zing of awareness. If it's an anecdote that you haven't fully worked through personally, not a good idea to use it in reflecting a hard truth. And then the way you would use a personal anecdote to reflect the hard truth is, again, number one, ask permission to tell a personal anecdote. You know, sometimes in sessions I'll just share personal anecdotes, but oftentimes I'll just ask permission. Your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Can I share? I think it would be beneficial for your learning here, right? That's step number one. Number two, share the anecdote briefly. Don't make it a big to-do. Share it briefly. Number three, ask, how might this relate to your situation? Now, again, if you need a safety hatch, you know, willing to be wrong, you could also add to that. You could say, how might this relate to your situation? Or if it doesn't relate, let me know. I might be totally off here, right? So you don't want to make assumptions. That's another great way to create awareness. I know I'm moving through these quickly. You'll get a handout with all of these, but I just want to share them voice to voice. I'm going to share two more ways. Third way of reflecting a hard truth is kind of like half reflecting, half questioning. And this works well if you're going to introduce language into your questioning that your client hasn't yet used as a way of creating awareness. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say you have a client and they're complaining and sharing. They're just working. They're working all the time. They don't want to work so much, but still it's like, you know, work is their devil. They're just working all the time, and it's affecting their life and all the things, right? Now, remember, coaching and transformation is an art, not a science. There's so many things you could do, right, if a client shared this with you. But if you sense that there is a hard truth in there and you want to reflect, you know, as opposed to like sometimes you might look at your schedule. How can you, you know, set boundaries? What can you let go of? You know, and all those things. And we'll get to, you know, those types of things later on in the program for those of you that are in the full certification. But let's say it's a reflecting a hard truth moment. You might say, so when did you become addicted to working? You see how that's reflecting a hard truth? I'm bringing a new language in, this concept of addiction. I'm using a question, right, but reflecting a hard truth through the question. Or here's another way, another truth reflection. You might ask, so when did you decide that you were going to risk everything in your life, even your health, for your work? So it's a little bolder, this strategy, because we're not asking for permission. We're not saying I might be wrong, right? Although, of course, if the client disagrees, we always want to leave open the option that we're wrong. It's a little bit more direct. And sometimes more direct can impact, you know, like zing in a good way more. Right, which leads me to the last way that I'll share today for reflecting a truth, which is the most direct way. And you're only going to use this if you've got a super tight container with your client, if you've really checked your filters, if you know that your client is in a place to take it, right, to really take it in. And you might just directly reflect the truth without the permission, without the I may not be getting it right. And you would do this in moments where you really sense that this, again, all the things I just said, the person can take it, there's a tight container, but that just that directness is going to be taken in really deeply, right? So just earlier today, I had a very deep session with a client, and I won't get into all of the details, but we were looking at some very deep patterning inside of her that has been holding her back in some ways in her marketing, and I felt that she could take it, and we have a tight container. I know her pretty well. And I took a deep breath, and I paused, and I said to her with love and compassion, and I knew that I could use this language with her, I said, your inner perpetrator is really strong. And that one statement, it broke her open in such an incredible and powerful way. It allowed her, now her and I have spoken about shadow before, and she understood, you know, it wasn't so, you know, she had a certain amount of education so that this didn't offend her, right? But she was able to own this part of herself that she's been turning against herself for so long and not using for good. I wouldn't do that with every client, and I may not have done that on a different day with her if she was more tender. Okay, we're almost at the end of our time for today. I want to honor our time, but I also know I just shared a lot, and so and I have homework to give you. So if you can hang on for a few more minutes, please do. First of all, just take a moment and jot down what's your big takeaway from our call today. What are you really taking away for yourself from our call? I'll open up in a minute or two for takeaways and questions, but just write down for yourself first. All right, and then for homework. Oh, first let me just tell you a couple, just quick Next week, we're finally going to be at our Tuesday 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. slot. I know there's been a lot of, like, different times and dates are at the beginning of this program. And thank you for showing up at different times, but starting next week will be standard Tuesdays at 1. We will be looking at more creating awareness techniques. For homework, first of all, please share your takeaways in the group. I'll start a thread for that. Love to hear your takeaways. You'll get a worksheet to help you go deeper with everything that we've looked at today. And if you're working with a coaching partner, I want you to see if you can reflect the truth at least once during the session, right? So see if you can reflect a truth at least once during the session. And I want you to keep, again, that question top of mind. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their results? And in the feedback time with your partner, talk about it. Talk about how you reflected the truth, you know, how the delivery was, how it felt, and then explore together if there are any things that the client isn't seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut. All right. I also had an opportunity that I wanted to share with you guys. I'll do that, I guess, in the Facebook group because I know we're already over time and I just want to make sure there's time for questions and any last-minute shares or takeaways. So star two, what question can I answer for you or what are you taking away? Anyone want to share or anyone have any questions? I know I laid out all of the things real quick. If not, then I'll share my opportunity with you guys. But I'd prefer if there were questions. Oh, there are. Okay, great. Who is this? 4217.
Oh, that's me. It's Rose, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to touch in on this sharing controversial information or opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've moved, I'm almost like, I don't care, it needs to be said, I'm almost there, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm not quite there is because of the impact on my reputation as a spiritual healer.
Yeah.
And also being excluded from certain communities and demographic of clients because of the opinion that I hold.
Yeah.
So I've really been healing through a few situations like that, but really finding my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a process, and I'm glad that you're almost there. And I'll share this for now if it's helpful for you and anyone else, which is that we can't be liked or accepted by all the people all the time, which I know you know. I'm very vocal about a lot of things. And what I have found is that for the people that are not aligned for me, it's a shortcut to cutting them loose.
Right.
And for the people that are aligned with me, it's a shortcut to having them feel even more resonant with me.
Yeah. I feel that that's what I'm leaning into now.
Yeah.
Because after the onslaught of the resistance, I really got to focus on, well, there are still people here.
Yes.
So why are clients still here when I am deeply outspoken? So this realm is like how you are with the coaching transformation. I'm talking certain things about the old spiritual paradigm.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, there are people that opt out of my community all the time, right? I'm not going to pretend, right? Because they don't like it. Yeah. And we even get some hate mail sometimes, which my team mostly protects me from, thank goodness, you know. But that's part of it. Because the people that really need to hear the message, they're hearing it and they're getting it. And then they're even more attracted to want to work with me.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I'll do my other piece in my takeaway in the group.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, thank you. Great to hear your voice. And Penny.
Ah, hi. My biggest takeaway was just all of the many layers of things to be aware of when I want to share a truth, and that before I do, to make sure I'm kind of like as clean and clear as possible so that I can do it in a way that is going to be heard and most likely to have the outcome that we're looking for. And, you know, and I think there to really truly remember and make sure I'm in touch with knowing that the client is whole and perfect the way they are and feel my love for them, that energetic state just allows for so much more. Yeah.
It's not a surefire way for someone to not get upset or defensive, you know, whatever it is. But it
makes me feel cleaner.
Exactly. So number one, like, it sure does help. And number two, it gives you the ability to then hold the space for what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that's going
exactly.
to be powerful and transformational for your client. Good.
Thanks.
Thank you. I want to hear more takeaways. Please post in the Facebook group. Any questions that come up, please post them. I have this opportunity, if you want some extra support, which I've not offered before, and I'll share about that in the Facebook group. I'll share it voice to voice next week too, but it's just a little thing that some of you may, it might be exactly what you need. So I'll let you know about that. Enjoy your homework this week. Stay in touch, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.